I live in Israel. This season is dedicated to the memory of the 1,400 of my countrymen who were massacred on October 7th and the 240 people that were kidnapped and are being held hostage by the terrorist organization Hamas. Hopefully they will be returned to their families as soon as possible, and hopefully this terrible war will be able to come to a peaceful end very soon. And welcome to Minute 125 of Season 6 of Movie Our Minute, the daily podcast, where we take a cap-rash journey through the 1946 classic, It's a Wonderful Life, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off her 5 episodes, I guess, because it's not even the end of the week, it's still the beginning of the week, is Amanda Kirkham of Hollywood Consumer. Welcome back to the show, Amanda.
Thanks. As once again, I'm very happy to be here.
Just don't piggyback on around. So minute 125 begins with George in the kitchen and ends with Mary leading George down the stairs. So we ended things yesterday with George entering his house and finding three strange men. Actually, I don't even know how many strange men, because he probably knows them all. Strangers to us. Let's put it that way. Yeah. He meets three strangers to us and one person that we've already met. I think that's probably the best way to describe it. So the bank examiner is there, and then we have the sheriff, and then a photographer, and what I assume is a reporter, but I'm not really sure. You know, we talked about it yesterday, that they don't really establish if this is a reporter or if this is just a man with the sheriff. You know, it could be either. So and unfortunately we don't get an actual response as to what it is. You know, we'll never find that out of which of them it is. I cannot think of another reporter in the movie, but maybe someone does. I don't know. Anyway, so if you do, let me know. So George is in the house, and he ran yesterday into the kitchen, and then he runs out again. We hear him say, "Mary, Mary, Mary," and then he looks at the men standing in the living room and says, "Have you seen my wife?" Yeah, and they're all giving him a very strange look. I mean, here you have a sheriff getting ready to arrest him. And you have a banker or a bank examiner that knows that $8,000 is missing. And then, someone with a camera, which I'm assuming is a reporter, to document the fact that they're going to be arresting George Bailey on fraud or embezzlement or whatever other charges they want to trump up on him, you know, of saying what he's doing. Who knows? Yeah, but George doesn't care. So we get a look upstairs and we see the three kids. We see Pete, Janie, and Tommy all looking down from upstairs on the banister. And they scream down to George and they go, "Merry Christmas, Daddy." And he looks up and he is so happy to finally see his kids. I mean, for anyone who's paying attention, the last time he saw his kids, he got angry at all of them. You know, and wrecked his area of the living room, you know, where he was building models and stuff like that. And, you know, I guess he now is once again happy that his kids are back, that he gets to see them. And he screams, "Kids, Pete." And he just starts laughing. And he goes, "Kids, Janie, Tommy." And he runs up the stairs. And I love how, you know, they give us the callback where the knob falls off of the banister.
Yes.
And, last time he got so upset about it. And this time he's so happy. And he actually gives the knob a kiss.
Yes, I love that callback. It's one of the funniest small moments.
Yes. It really is. It's great. Because it's something I think most people can relate to also.
Mm-hmm. Well, Yeah, it's the house project that is never finished. It's there's a there's a similar thing in Christmas Vacation. I don't know if you ever watched the show Modern Family, but there's a
Yeah,
joke
sure.
about the step that appears, I think, throughout the entire series. And so it's that like kind of household maintenance thing that just has never been fixed, and he knows that it's there, and it's always irritated him. But now it's a again, it's another reminder to George that he is back where he should be.
Right. And that despite flaws, he still loves every moment of it, of where he
Yes.
is. You know, that's the thing. And I think that that's also part of the message of this movie is that nothing is perfect. You
Right.
know, and you're gonna always have to deal with stuff, and you know, you have to find the way to deal with it. You know, you have to find clarity and use that to make your way through whatever issues come up.
Yeah, and I think it's also again, this is another one of those, like I said, I think I got the best minutes of the film. You get the
I'm glad you
mild
believe that.
daily
That's true.
you get the daily frustrations of the Newel Post, and then the minute before you get the bigger concerns. But the thing that is grounding George in this moment now is his children. It's the people that he loves in his life, and he's just so happy to that everything else it's the it's everything else has been put into perspective. His children are right there in front of him. He can, deal with the Newel Post, have it be a reminder. The other people that he left in his living room, they'll be dealt with later, but for now he's just gonna embrace his children and be surrounded by the those that he loves.
Yeah, and the you know, four strangers in the house at the same time.
Yes.
So he gets up there and he hugs all three kids at once and he's giving them kisses. You know, he's completely ecstatic at this point. You know that he's there, and he says, "Let me look at
Yes.
you, or I could eat you up." And the right after he says that, they have a great shot of the four men downstairs just looking at each other, trying to figure out what to make of this.
Yeah.
You know, like, what do we do here? Is like, have these people never seen a father who is happy to see his children? You know,
Yeah.
maybe they're just confused about the fact that you know, they're about to arrest him. You know, I don't know. I'm not really
Well,
sure, but.
they're kind of like Bert in the previous couple minutes, where just confused about the enthusiasm that George is showcasing in this moment in such a and for these particular people that are at his house right now, like you said, well, we're gonna arrest him, or there's missing money. Why is he so excited? I don't get
Right,
this.
exactly. And then you see like the guy with the camera sort of like shrugs his shoulders type of thing, and then picks up the camera in order to maybe take a picture of George with his kids, which I think is a great little touch. You know, the
Yeah.
guy saying, "All right, what the hell?" You know,
Yeah.
I'll take a picture of that. And then as George is standing there with them, he says to the kids, "Where's your mother?" And Pete responds, "She went looking for you." And then Janie says, "With Uncle Billy." And then the door to one of the bedrooms opens, and we hear "Daddy." And he goes, and he looks at and sees Zuzu, and he goes, "Zuzu, Zuzu, my little ginger snap. How do you feel?" And she responds and says, "Fine, not a smidge of temperature." And he laughs and says, "Not a smidge of." And then he goes, "Hallelujah." So it's done really well. You know, so
Yeah.
yeah. Are you familiar with a ginger snap? Do you know what it is?
I know the ginger snap cookies.
That's what it is. A ginger snap is a
Yeah.
cookie.
The kind of it's a not quite gingerbread, it's a tougher cookie. Not as soft as a gingerbread kind of is.
Right. It's a biscuit flavored with ginger. And they're flavored with powdered ginger and a variety of other spices, sometimes cinnamon, molasses, or cloves. There's
All
obviously
good stuff.
there exactly. There are tons of recipes that people can use to make a ginger snap. It's also known as a ginger nut or a ginger biscuit, depending on where you're from.
Like
Yeah.
that.
So it's
And
interesting
probably a
that
little bit the consistency.
he, yeah. Well, you see, because this movie's in black and white, so I don't know, is she supposed to be maybe redhead, a redhead, or
Oh, maybe, yeah.
yeah,
I
I
didn't
don't
even
know.
think
I mean, even if you're looking at the colorized versions of it, that won't tell you anything because when they choose to color something, they can use whatever color they want.
Right.
Not necessarily the real color. Who knows?
Or it could be because she's kind of spunky, and I think, ginger snaps are, they're sweet, but they've got that kick to them, and so maybe it's more her personality too.
Right. I have a special guest tomorrow that might actually know the answer to that. So I will have to try and remember to ask her tomorrow.
There you go.
And at this point he gives Zuzu also a very big hug. And then we hear the door to the house open. And we see Mary come in. And she like runs into the house and then stops short. I guess realizing that there are these four strange men in her house.
Yeah.
But she reacts very differently than the librarian Mary responded. So that's already a good sign. And I like how we see that she has snow on her, but she has like I guess a shawl over her head a little bit, which is which she like takes off in a second. Do you see how quickly she's able to
Yeah.
like just she takes both hands and just pulls it off really quickly. And
Yeah, maybe it had a snap as opposed to a tie or something. I don't know.
it could be, I don't know. It's really quick the way she does that. I actually I don't think it was I think it was just tucked in. I think it was
Oh,
just
yeah,
tucked
maybe.
into her jacket. And then she looks up and goes, "Hello." And she goes, "George, George, darling." And he goes, "Mary, Mary." And he's forget about the kids. Mary's back.
Yeah.
And she goes, "George, darling, where have you been?" "Oh, George, George, George." And he runs down the stairs and she runs up the stairs and they hug and kiss on the staircase. And I've never noticed this before, but if you look behind them while they're on the staircase, there's like bookshelves.
Oh.
Which is
On the
really, really
staircase?
it that's the way it looks.
Oh.
Is it
Maybe.
on the oh is ah no, sorry. It's on the okay, they give us a shot of the upstairs. It's
Okay,
from
I
that
was gonna
angle.
say,
Okay.
yeah,
Right.
kind of a weird trick of the camera there.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an angle, so it looks as if they're it's behind it's on the staircase itself, but it's actually on the other side of the banister there. The other side of the banister so that the kids don't fall fall down the stairs.
Fall down, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably good. And then George says, "Mary, oh, let me touch you. Let me touch you. Are you real?" And then she goes, "George, George, you have no idea what's happened to me." And then she says, "You've no idea what's happened." And she starts leading him down the stairs to possibly the two of them now want to tell each other what happened. And before that happens, I mean, we see that the three of the kids are all around George, and Zuzu is hanging onto him like piggyback. Ever since I'm trying to figure out what point she jumps onto his back, because when George sees Mary, he quickly turns around. And okay, as he's turning around at the
Yeah.
second 41, then we see that she's got her arms wrapped around his neck, and then
Yeah, because I think she gives him a hug and then she's
just
still hugging him
hangs
when
on.
he turns. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Interesting. So it made me wonder, like, what is the origin of the term to piggyback? You have any guess?
The only thing I could think of is literally if somebody was carrying like a hog on their shoulders or something to carry them across the farm or something. That's the only thing that I would think.
Okay. So the etymology actually comes from something really, really old, from the 1500s. The term piggyback is a corruption of pickaback, which was a corruption of the term pickpack.
Oh.
Okay, which basically means to pitch, and the idea is to basically carry something on one's back. So you have what's known as the human locomotion, which is what we're seeing here. So it's a person carrying somebody else on their back. Most of the time you would see that in situations like this, where you have a parent carrying an underage child, either because they're traveling or hiking or something like that, or because, of some sort of game that they're playing. Sometimes the carrier can be crawling on their hands and knees, and the child riding them like a horse, basically. Or they could be standing upright with the child hugging or cradled behind the back, with the children's arms leaning over the carrier's shoulders and legs wrapped around the flanks. And you have that also in different types of sports. You'll have that, and things like that. Then you also have it with transportation, where you'll have semi-trailers that have flat cars or possibly trains that basically are carrying other vehicles, and it's known as piggybacking. You also have it with air transport, like the space shuttle used to be carried on top of a special Boeing 747, things like that. So it's interesting to think about that. That piggy, like when I hear the term piggybacking, I only think of a child, on wrapping their arms around the neck of their parents. That's what I think of. I don't think of anything else. But
Well, the only thing I now think of is I don't know if you're a fan of the show Stranger Things, but
not really.
there's an okay, well there's a concept in that was introduced in the last season, and there's actually an episode called The Piggyback.
Ah, okay.
So there's just this idea. It's way too complicated to try to explain, but that's also what I think of now.
Okay, that is fair. And that's pretty much how this minute ends. I mean, people are gonna have to come back tomorrow to find out what Mary wants to tell or show George. Yeah. So, Amanda, do you have anything else you want to say about this minute or about the movie in general?
Yeah, no, I just specifically about this minute, I just really love the moment that Mary and George officially reunite, and they're so happy and they're crying and they're hugging and they're kissing, and I just love the line, "Are you real? Let me touch you. Are you real?" Because again, it's that it goes back to what we've talked about, just the he wants to confirm that he is in his proper reality now. And this is like sort of the final piece for him, and everything else past that is gonna, he could deal with. And then just in terms of the film in general, I think it's everybody knows it's a classic Christmas time film. We talked about it before, my sort of tradition with it. I absolutely love it. It's like I said, I think the last, 5 minutes that we've talked through are some of the best of the film. I mean, obviously, you have to get through the other emotional hurdles before you get to this point, but this is what it's all about. And so I'm very, very happy to have been talking about these particular minutes.
Yeah, I'm glad that you were on them too. I think you did a great job. So thank you very much for that. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, so every Monday we have a segment called Frank Capra Monday. where my guests will give their top five Frank Capra movies. So, what have you got for us, Amanda?
Yeah, so unfortunately, I only have two because there are only two Frank Capra films that I've actually seen. And I, rather than try to rank some that I hadn't seen before, I just figured I'd talk about the two and give those rankings.
Well,
And they're
I know
both.
what the two are. I don't know the order, but
Yeah,
I know the two.
I
Because
was gonna say.
I was paying attention on Thursday.
Yeah. They're two that we've already talked about. Yes, so the first one, which I guess would be in the number two slot, is Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. And actually, to bring back one of the things that we talked about previously, I just watched it yesterday on Laserdisc because that's the version that we have. So that was kind
Ooh.
of fun. Had to halfway through, it's switching A to B, side A to B, then we had to actually, it's two discs, so we had to switch to a second disc. But,
Did you convince someone else in your household to watch it with you?
yes, I did. In fact, I had to use my dad's Laserdisc player in order to be able to watch this.
No, that I know, but did you did he You mean if you use his Laserdisc player, then he has to watch it with you? Is that like the rule?
Not, no, I don't know his setup. I used to, actually, this is like way back in the day, like when I was a little kid and you'd stay home, you were sick. I actually knew how to work the Laserdisc player. So I was not starved for entertainment when I was homesick because I would just go and my favorites were the Aristocats and Winnie the Pooh were the two Laserdiscs that I always watched. But I don't know his current setup, and so I don't know what input the TV is supposed to be on or which remote and all that. So I needed his assistance, and I think he decided to help and said, "Oh, I'll just watch it with you." And the film itself is, another great performance from Jimmy Stewart. I think we talked about it before in one of the previous episodes where it's sort of the perfect idealistic version of the types of characters that he plays. And I'm a big, I like American history. I like the way that the government is set up in terms of the Senate and the Congress and all of that. And I love the little history lesson that you get throughout the film with that. But I also think it's a story about a man who is idealistic and is basically shown that the things that he has loved and believed in his entire life and now, into his adult life is taking part in are not the wonderful things that he thought they were. And it's his fight to try to keep them sort of in that view of being worth fighting for. And that's just a thing that's a theme that I love. I realized as I was watching, I said, "Oh, now I know why I haven't watched as many Frank Capra films, because they always make me cry." Because by the end of it, I was crying, and I'm going, "This, it's always gonna happen." And like I said, I think it's that it goes back to Jimmy Stewart's performance. He's just he can showboat a little as he's given his final speeches, but it's the cracking of his voice and the clear exhaustion that he's feeling and the like. Again, we talked about even with the It's a Wonderful Life, the desperation that he's feeling, and in this case, it's a little bit of his reputation that he's fighting for, but it's the idea. It's the idea of America. It's the idea of the American government not being completely corrupt, which is a whole other issue that we could potentially get into, but I won't.
Yeah, I try to stay as apolitical as possible.
No, but in this particular instance, I think the story is that a good man can inspire others to want to do good again. At least that's what I take away from it. So like I said, I love it. Always makes me cry. It's like I said, it's my number two Frank Capra film. That my number one, of course, would be It's a Wonderful Life. I think we've said, I'm sure you've had plenty of people say how wonderful it is. It's again another one of those. He's got this very wonderful ability to create stories that are very heart-wrenching at times, very funny, and very hopeful in the end. And I think that It's a Wonderful Life is just the perfect kind of version of that. As I said, it also always makes me cry, and it's because of all of those things mixed together. It's the sadness you feel from all the terrible things that George is going through, realizing, both before he gets erased, all the terrible things that he's have. I mean, I get teary-eyed at the beginning, as he's another one of my favorite moments is earlier in the film when his dad is talking to him at the dinner table, and he pauses and says, "Hey, you know what? I think you're a great guy," and
It's about time
just
one of
that
you
kind of,
said
yeah, and it's like it's
Would she call them
to have a,
lunkheads? It's about time one of you lunkheads said it, something like that.
yeah, I think kids, yeah. But the idea that like that an adult child takes this moment to tell their parent, like, "Hey, I get it. Like, I think you're wonderful." And kids, kids and parents always have those, complicated relationships. And again, I think it's just one of those themes throughout the movie that George is very much his father. He ends up doing the right thing over and over again at the expense of his dreams going away. And after he's finally done all of that at the end of the day, and it's still coming back to slap him in the face, that's the point at which he feels like that he's given up. And it isn't until, everything that he goes through in Clarence's new version of his life, and he realizes how wonderful he really did have it. And I just think that, obviously the performances are wonderful, but it's the directing that takes it, that brings it all together. And like I said, I think it's just another example of Frank Capra doing what he does best, mixing all those emotions together and doing it effectively enough that you want to watch it every Christmas.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I cannot complain about that.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you very much, Amanda, for joining me this week. Would you like for one final time to tell all of the people listening out there how they can find Amanda Kirkham?
Yes, I am at hollywoodconsumer.wordpress.com. That's the blog. And on Instagram, it's at hollywood_consumer.
All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com, and you can find me on Facebook. So I will be back tomorrow. And as I teased earlier, I have a very special guest tomorrow, one that I only just found out a few days ago that I was able to get on the show. So, come back tomorrow to find out who that is. So until tomorrow. Hot dog.
Hot
I
dog.
love you truly, truly dear. Life with its sorrow, life with its tears.